Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's five servant songs in the book of Isaiah. Each one points us closer and closer to a clearer and clearer picture of the promised servant, the Messiah. And our Old Testament reading today, Isaiah 49, is the second of the five servant songs. If you remember 2 weeks ago, Isaiah 42 is the first servant song in Isaiah. Today we hear the second one. There's a few things in the second servant song that I'd like to point out this morning as we celebrate Life Sunday. A few interesting things about this. One is that the servant speaks for the first time in the second servant song. He doesn't speak at all in the first. And you know what the first thing the servant says is? This servant, if you recall from the first servant song, who's going to open the eyes of the blind, who's going to be a light to the nations, who's going to rescue the captives who are in prison and those in the dungeons, who's the Father's soul delights in. This servant, his first words, "I've labored in vain. I've labored in vain, and I've spent my strength for nothing and vanity." Verse 4. And God says to him, "You're going to be my servant." Verse 3. But right there in verse 4, "But I said, I've labored in vain." It's the first thing the servant says. And unfortunately, when you read about Jesus and you open up the New Testament and you start following along in his ministry, you realize he had every right to say, "I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing in vanity." Just look at his 12. I mean, his 12 disciples, the 12 confidants, the ones who spend day and night with the Lord, walking with him for 3 years, over and over again, he goes, "Do you not get it? If you don't understand these earthly things, how are you going to understand these spiritual and heavenly things? You of little faith. I've labored in vain over you. I'm spending my strength for nothing in vanity." And then the crowds who follow Jesus, he gets crowds by the thousands. He feeds thousands with just a few loaves of bread and some fish, and he gets in a boat and he goes across the Sea of Galilee and he gets to Capernaum, and these crowds, he says, "You don't follow me because of the signs or the miracles. You don't follow me because of who I am or what I've come to do. You follow me because you ate your fill of the loaves. You follow me because I feed you. Don't labor for the food that perishes. I've labored over you in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing in vanity." And then when Jesus would actually usher in the kingdom of heaven, when he would do what he came to do, overcome evil, open the eyes of the blind, perform these miracles, give hearing to the deaf, make the crippled walk and leap for joy, when he'd forgive people their sins, he'd perform a miracle one verse, and the very next verse he'd be questioned on what authority he did such thing. "It's by the spirit of Satan that he casts out demons. Who are you to forgive the sins of anyone?" Jesus came to be a light to the nations and to save people from their sins, but everywhere he turns, things get darker and darker. And his authority on to forgive sins is immediately questioned. The results of Jesus' ministry are pretty disheartening. The results just aren't there, and things get darker, and his claims lead him to a cross on Calvary's hill, where he's crucified, humiliated, with a mocking sign above his head. And there's only three people there that really care: Mary and John and Mary. Three. The crowd that else is there, they're just there to mock and to jeer him. While Jesus breathed his last, he had every right to say, "I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength on nothing and vanity." You ever feel like that? I mean, not to that extreme, we can't claim that, but do you ever feel like what you do, it's all in vain? And whatever you find yourself doing day in and day out, do you ever feel like, "I'm just spinning my wheels here for nothing"? You have these goals and they never come. And no one sees what you do. No one appreciates you for what you do. And those who do, maybe they do, but for the wrong reasons, you know? Ever feel like you're just spending all your strength on nothing? You ever ask yourself if you're laboring in vain here? Is this even worth it? I know I do. I confess that as a pastor, I think this often. But it's in the scriptures, so I'm justified to do so. Paul himself labors over the church in vain. Do I labor over you in vain? You know, is all this that we do here throughout the week and here on Sunday, is all this in vain? Sometimes I wonder. Even as a Christian, is the Lord laboring over me in vain? I mean, does he know who he's getting here? I'm definitely not worth one dying for. Coming to church, is this all in vain? I mean, how many sermons have you guys heard now? What can I say that you haven't heard already? Is this just all in vain, what we do here at Trinity? January 22nd, 1973, Roe v. Wade made abortion legal in our land, and the church has been standing up for life to protect and care for it at all stages for 44 years, and you got to wonder if all of our labor is in vain, because the results are pretty disheartening. Last year, another 320,000 babies that were aborted in the womb. And this year, we will pass 60 million. 60 million since 1970, 60 million. And you got to wonder if all of our labor's in vain on this front. All of our prayers, all of our marches, all of the free ultrasounds given, all the maternity homes open throughout the land and now right here in Clinton. All the letters signed, all the phone calls made, all the tears that have been shed caring for people, trying to help them. You know, you think all this pain and all this work, is it all in vain? Because the results are pretty disheartening, and the world seems to be getting darker and darker every day. Just this past year, Colorado became the sixth state in our land to pass right-to-die legislation. Physician-assisted suicide for those who no longer want to live. Or death with dignity, they call it. And still, today, over half of all children who die throughout this world, it's because of malnutrition. Because they don't have enough food or water. The culture of death that we live in today, it places less and less value on life. And it encourages you to place less and less value on life as well. Only life that is worthy is deemed worthy of living. Only life that's desirable is deemed worthy of living. Only life that's productive is deemed worthy of living. And now only life that is pain-free is worthy of living. I have to wonder if all of our work is in vain. Because we're embarking on a difficult journey ahead with this home, you know. There's going to be a lot of work to be done with a maternity home to help women in our community. Thankfully, we have wonderful partners they're going to do most of the work. Adore Hope. But it's not going to be easy. You'll be tempted to wonder if what we're doing is in vain. Because the results may not be there. Things could get dark, and the results can be a little disheartening at times. And you'll be tempted to ask, are we laboring in vain? Just like we do every day. No one's outside of this temptation to see what you do as laboring in vain, but that is not the right question. You shouldn't be asking yourself if you're laboring in vain. All you should be asking yourself is if you're laboring in the Lord. That's all that matters. If what you're doing is in Him and obedient to Him and He takes pleasure in Him, it doesn't matter the results or the praise or the fortune. All that matters is that we labor in the Lord. We've been trained since birth to see favorable results as a sign of success for your pursuits, and that's what makes them worthy. So if you make the most money or you get the best crowd or you feel fulfilled, then keep doing it. It's worthy. But what happens when you get disheartening results or you don't make the money or you don't get the following or you don't feel fulfilled? Then you close up shop. It's all in vain. That's a good master of business. Not a good master of Christians. We don't concern ourselves with whether or not our work is in vain. We concern ourselves with whether or not our work is in the Lord. Jesus, the servant of God, obedient to the Father on your behalf, even to the point of death, which is why the servant in this song says, I've labored in vain, I've spent my strength on nothing and vanity, yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense is with my God. God, all the reward is yours, whatever that may be, I'm entrusting it to you. All the glory, all the praise, everything is yours. Which is why when Jesus breathes his last, with his hands pierced on a cross and only three people there to watch it, his work was worthy because it was in the Lord, on your behalf. He didn't labor in vain. And neither do you. See, Jesus comes to God as in the midst of an apparent failure in this song. And God expands his mission. It's too light a thing for you to be a light to the tribe of Jacob. I'm going to make you a light to the nations, and my salvation will reach the ends of the earth. Jesus, his labor was in the Lord. Your labor in the Lord's never in vain. And our labor for life in this land, it is never in vain. No matter the results, no matter how many crowds follow us, no matter how much money there is, no matter any of that, the praise or the fortune, it's in the Lord. And we have a heavenly reward that we look forward to one day. Jesus himself said, whatever you do to the least of these, my brothers, you do it to me. All life is in his hands. It all matters. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. And unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. All labor in the Lord is never in vain, which also means the opposite is true. Those who labor outside the Lord, it doesn't matter if you have millions of people following you or you make trillions of dollars doing it. It'll be burned up one day. All that's wood, hay, and stubble. Only that which is built on the foundation, Jesus Christ himself, will last. But our labor in the Lord, it's never in vain, not because of what we're laboring for or how successful we may be or how failing we are at it. Our labor in the Lord is never in vain because he is faithful. That's how the servant song ends. The Lord who is faithful. The Lord is faithful. He's faithful to his promises. He's faithful to his covenant. He's faithful to his servants, and he will vindicate us. He will stand for all those who labored in him. So keep praying, keep working, keep sacrificing for the people that God places before you in your life, knowing this, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord, it's never in vain. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.